Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, as you know, we talked about what the Christian life looks like. We discussed those spiritual traits, those things that characterize the Christian life, those who have faith in Jesus. Well, this week, we're not going to be talking about the individual Christian life. We're going to be talking about the Christian life collectively. We're going to be talking about God's people. We're going to be talking about what the church is in heaven and what it looks like on this earth. And so we're going to be looking at it in two ways. We're going to be looking at how you would define the church from the vantage point of heaven, from God's perspective, and how you would describe the church as it appears on this earth. I want to start out by saying there is a troubling misconception about the Christian faith and its gaining wide acceptance, even among some well-intentioned Christians these days. We're beginning to hear more and more that Christians are expressing the thought that the church is unessential. There seems to be this prevailing myth out there that somehow or another, you can remain a Christian without being part of the true nature and the true nurture of the church. In fact, we're frequently left with that impression these days that the church is really only a human invention or institution. That the call to belong to a congregation, to share in its life and in its work, is really nowhere found in Scripture. We wrongly conclude this, that we can sort of just take or leave the church as we please. It is a false assumption that you may either participate or not participate in the local congregation as you choose. Too many Christians these days imagine that their membership in the local congregation is voluntary, like you might voluntarily join or choose to leave any human club or organization. But in reality, our membership in the church is a mandate of Jesus Christ, and belonging to the church is a large part of the Christian faith. Sometimes it seems like around here when we try to get Christians to do things for Christ and for the church, you act as if it were your prerogative whether to volunteer for that duty or to decline. The spiritual reality, however, is much closer to conscription in the army. For our Lord does not request your participation in the life of this congregation. He commands it. And so the Bible would have us rebuke this modern assumption that you don't need to belong to a Christian congregation or participate in its affairs. That is simply a wrong idea about the church, and it is very dangerous to your Christian faith. For God's word asserts that the church is not like any other earthly organization on earth because it is divinely instituted by Jesus himself. And our lesson for today, Ephesians 2, makes this abundantly clear. It makes this point that our inclusion in the church happened simultaneously with our inclusion into Christ by faith. And so, except for in the case of the rarest emergency, where there were no Christians available to gather with, you'd almost have to live on a deserted island for this exemption to apply, there is no such thing as a Christian who is not also part of the church in heaven and on earth. In fact, every Christian, for the sake of honoring Christ and for the safety of his or her own salvation, must belong to a local congregation. A local church just like this one, located at 509 South Mattis Avenue in Champaign, Illinois. This, you see, is the earthly embodiment, the visible embodiment of the heavenly church of Jesus Christ. I don't know why it is these days that Christians act as if the abstract concept of the church in heaven is real, while the concrete reality of belonging to the congregation on earth is not. But to hold to that belief, that belonging to a Christian congregation doesn't really matter, carries some frightening spiritual consequences. To push this idea of a privatized faith is really a fictitious version, a counterfeit version of Christianity. It's really the spiritual equivalent of encouraging a weak animal to fall behind and to get separated from the herd. We've all witnessed those scenes on the Animal Channel on television when it happens that an antelope falls out of the herd or the pack, and a predator like a lion zeroes in on that antelope as an easy meal. Animals in nature, animals like sheep or gazelle, can't survive for very long apart from their flock or their herd. And it's the same with Christians. For Scripture tells us that Satan, our adversary, stalks about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And so that Christian who believes that he can simply go out on his own and live his life without the church is like that animal that falls behind the flock, a flock that Christ purchased with his own blood. And that individual Christian becomes easy prey and a target for Satan. Now, granted, it's true in a transitional period of your life, you can be a Christian for a short time without belonging to a congregation. But in the long run, that is a very risky proposition to your faith and your salvation. When we talk about belonging to a congregation, by the way, we mean being part of its worship, part of its service of good works, part of its spiritual governance, not just having our name on the roster. While it's true that we come to faith before we belong to the church, our epistle lesson for today makes it abundantly clear that the moment we come to faith in Jesus, we become members of God's household. We become fellow citizens of heaven with other believers. Before we came to faith, our text says, we were foreigners to God's promise. We were outside of his promises. We were strangers to God. We were not his people. But now that you have been called into fellowship with God's Son, you simultaneously are in fellowship with those people who share a like faith in Jesus. And that spiritual bond, that fellowship that we have in common with other believers is the church. Think about it this way. You were born into a biological family. You didn't pick or choose that family on earth. You were just born into it. Well, you were born into the family of faith by baptism into Christ, by believing in Christ. You did not pick that family, the family of heaven, either. But it happened automatically through belief and baptism into the gospel. In fact, the very nature of what Christ did for us on the cross was to create this church for himself. Ephesians 2 says that Christ did this to bring us near to God and to tear down all the walls of guilt and prejudice and pride and sin that had for so long isolated us and divided us from one another. So that now we have become one people, for we have the same Spirit of Christ living in us. As the church, our text says, we all have access to God through that one Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so it's obvious, if you look at this epistle lesson for today, that the church is not a human institution. Christ created it. He called it into being, and you and I are that church. Christ built the church on the biblical foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and he is the chief thing in the church. He is its cornerstone. As its cornerstone, Jesus Christ is the main conversation of the church. It's in all of our conversation, the church always speaks about Jesus Christ. If it doesn't, it's not the church. The church was created by Christ and for Christ. Christ authored the church. He bled and died for it. He rules it. He prays for it. And he is the reason for the church's very existence. And so with all that said, you sort of sit back and you wonder, how can people of our day claim that you can be a Christian and yet say church attendance is unimportant? Now, I understand there are legitimate reasons to miss church. But when I look at the large number of our membership that so frequently is absent from church, some better than half of the time, I must confess, I begin to ask myself whether they may have this misunderstanding that church is optional and not that important. And then I think, you know, if the Bible says Christ is so central to the church, if the Bible says the church is so centered on Christ, how did we ever get to the conclusion that we're at today? How did modern Christians ever start supposing that membership in the church is optional? When did belonging to church begin to seem so inconsequential, so unimportant to our Christian faith and life? Well, I think I might have an answer. In part, I believe it's because Protestant Christianity has so over-personalized the nature of individual faith. By this I mean that Protestants are always talking about a personal relationship to Jesus. Now, we do have a personal relationship to Jesus, but it is an overemphasis if you lose an appreciation not just for the personal aspect of Christianity, but for its corporate nature, its collective work and worship as the church. And so, like last week when I said I think we've forgotten what the Christian life looks like individually, today I would say I think we've forgotten what the church is in heaven and what it should look like on this earth. For the scriptures do not merely speak about what I believe, but we speak from the scriptures about what we believe together and collectively as the church. And we need to speak in both ways. We need to speak about a personal faith in Jesus, but we also need to confess together what we as the church believe about him. When we were called to believe in Christ, he became our head, and we who belong to the church became part of his body. And so it is impossible that we can belong to Jesus without also belonging to his church. When the Bible speaks about our having a personal faith in Jesus, it is also teaching us that we are connected to Christ by faith, and we are connected to his body, the church, by faith as well. We further fragment the church whenever we treat faith as purely an individual's own private interpretation regarding who Jesus is and what the teachings of the Bible are. And when we speak independently of the church's teaching. For as a church, we come together not only to worship our Lord, not only to receive his forgiveness, but also to speak to the world as one united voice of confessing Christians. We come together as the church to confess our Savior and his teachings with one united heart and voice. Now, yes, you should find occasions when you individually can testify to the gospel of God's love and free grace in Christ on your own. But we are also the church, and we speak the same truths about Christ. And it's a testimony to the fact that the unity of the Spirit has created a unity of belief in the collective hearts of God's people. And what a powerful witness that is to our unbelieving world, that as the church we do speak as one, and that we can speak as one based on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus as the chief teaching regarding our salvation. There are so many Christian denominations out there today, and I know that frequently confuses us, especially it confuses the fact that there is only one church. The sheer number of churches kind of discourages us from seeking out fellowship with other Christians. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not significant differences within the teachings of one church body against another. Not every denomination teaches the complete Christian truth. There are false doctrines taught within various churches, and these are responsible for the differences that have divided Christians. There are differences that characterize different denominations, but those differences are not of divine origin, for God does not intend his church to be divided. But with that said, denominations can never divide the substance of the true church, the heavenly church under Christ. Denominations only distort its appearance on this earth. And you know why that happens? That happens whenever individuals depart from what Scripture teaches and go their own separate way, when they ignore right teaching. And so the way that we can restore the unity of the church is to come together and have everything in common, so that what we believe and what we teach and what we confess as a congregation falls in line with Scripture. That won't happen if we hold to our own pet teachings, our own private teachings, our own preferred beliefs, instead of God's clear word. But that is not the church that God envisions in heaven. That is not the church that God intends on earth. Ephesians 2 makes it clear that the church that Jesus created is to be clearly united in its reliance on Scripture alone, and that it is to base its salvation on Christ alone. And so the church on earth is the church only insofar as it reflects the true church of heaven. And that church is not optional, nor are its teachings. Once you were baptized, you were called to seek out and belong to a church which would teach the gospel purely, which would represent Christ's teaching faithfully. Is there a church like that out there? Is there a true visible church on earth that does this? I know there are many groups out there who say they do. There are many who use the name church quite liberally in their titles, but using the word church doesn't make you the church just because you refer to yourself as the church. But what you and I are looking for is that church that accurately reflects the biblical truth that centers on Jesus Christ. That is the church to join. Join that church. Unite with its members in the work of Christ and in the Word of Christ. For whenever you find the biblical truth taught, whenever you find Christ proclaimed, you find the church on earth as God intends it and sees it in heaven. Amen. May God grant you a greater sense that you are the church and that the unity of the Spirit makes us one with those we sit beside. Amen.